Introducing the Five Pillar Production.
You are now tuned in to Highly Unsportsmanlike. Before we get into everything in the Elite Eight, I want to talk about one thing, and that is everyone in corporate America, the first people they blame for their problems is millennials.
Yes, it's really getting annoying.
And a quick Google search of millennials, all you type in is millennials on Google, and you get, millennials are driving the worldwide shift away from meat. What the fuck?
I don't understand.
I was listening to the headlines. Millennials are allergic to politics, but they could change. But they could change anything. Why are so many gay millennials alone? Retirement savings update: are millennials well waiting for the millennium? Being frugal is for the rich. I don't get that one. The partisan gender gap among millennials is staggeringly large. The financial scams millennials fall for most. Millennials tend to bust their budget on housing. Here's how to avoid that. A bright spot for Republicans among millennials, young white men. The oldest millennials are, but see what I'm saying? They're all like negative headlines. Like, there's nothing positive that millennials are doing. Like, not the fact that you've got all these millennials in pro sports doing great things.
Yes.
And then Toys R Us is going out of business, and the first thing they do is blame millennials.
I saw that, but I mean, how do you compete with online shopping, right, with Amazon and things, and just, oh, the millennials is the problem?
Yeah, it's the millennials' fault. No, motherfucker, it's your fault.
Your prices are too high for toys.
And simple as that. It's not my fault. Simple as that. It's not our fault. It's Apple's fault, because kids want iPads and they want to
play. Yes, they want iPhones.
You
can do
stuff.
Everything on a phone, basically, except for make it transform.
Yeah.
And that's literally the only thing
different
between
the toys. Transformers has an app. Guarantee it.
Yeah, you can just
and
play games.
You can see what their problem is. They're not dressing. They're not selling like iPhone or iPad cases for kids and shit like that. Mm-hmm. They probably are. But
did you not see the meme? Do you got any games?
You got any games? Yeah, you
they're
got
not
games?
Looking for toys. Didn't say yeah. Toys. It said games.
Right. Kids want games. They want to fuck with their mind a little bit. You know, they got the smart games and all that stuff. But yeah, Toys R Us. It's not the fact that you go in these massive stores and you carry 150 toys for each cartoon that there is,
yeah,
instead of carrying the five most popular and having the ability to order it online like you go to any other store, and that's what they do.
And it makes a difference because you have to buy several different pieces to complete one set of toys.
Oh my God.
And I'm not spending that much money.
Last Christmas,
it's ridiculous.
I've got a niece and two nephews, and
I know your pockets are hurting.
Oh my God. You go into Toys R Us and it's like, okay, what does Maddie want? And my sister tells me, okay, she wants I can't remember the name of the doll, like, but she's like, she wants the washer and dryer, she doesn't have that. I'm like, what? Like, if my parents would have bought me a washer and dryer when I was 7, I'd have been pissed.
Yeah, I would have been mad
but
too.
Like, she already had the house, apparently. Now she just needs the washer and dryer
to complete the set.
Yeah, and she has the car.
Mm-hmm.
She needs the clothes and like the brother or sister. I'm like, what the fuck?
It doesn't make any sense.
No. And then My oldest nephew liked dino trucks, and there was like about 75,000 of those. And then the youngest nephew, he's good. Like Mason, he just wants fucking rattles and shit. Like, I'm cool with that. We can get him a little basketball that rattles when he shakes it. We're good to go. But no, not millennials' fault. Toys R Us, it's your fault. But the good news out of this is, do you remember KB Toys that was at the mall when you were a kid?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
they're trying to make a comeback, and that is awesome.
Let's get it. Let's make it happen.
I will be at KB Toys all the time. I will be a representative if they want to hire me. I'm available. Loved KB Toys.
KB Toys, you have to go in there every time because
it wasn't some massive big box store. It was like centrally located. And it was in the mall. You pass it. You know, I can't believe GameStop hasn't gone out of business yet.
Well, people love video games.
People do love video games,
but you
like,
can get them anywhere.
Right, but like people love movies too, and
Blockbuster went out of business, gone. Movie gallery gone.
Yeah,
all those gone. All the well, they don't want to rent those. They you can just go and buy them.
Yeah,
and you can rent it online and keep it as long as you want and not pay a late fee. So.
And as soon as Xbox figures it out to where I don't have to delete a game to buy another one, I'm never going back to GameStop ever again.
That's coming soon, man. Yeah. Watch out for that. Because if you can just download the games and pay the fee right there,
yeah,
then there's no point of you going to the GameStop at all.
Yeah, it's 2018. Your millennials at GameStop need, or your millennials at Xbox or Microsoft, y'all need to get on that.
They're working on it, trust me.
But so on to some sports. Zlatan. Ibrahimovic.
Yes, I'm excited about this. Very excited.
So, I've never heard of the guy before, but apparently he's coming to the LA Galaxy. And apparently,
dude is a beast.
Apparently, he's more polarizing than David Beckham, which blew my mind.
Yeah.
But so, he took out a full-page ad in the LA Times, an entire page just to write this letter. Dear Los Angeles, you're welcome. And he's going to the guy.
Dude is greatness,
whole
man.
Page.
Dude's
like,
greatness.
That is like people hate LeBron. People view LeBron like that, and they hate him for it.
But they love him. They love him.
Right. If LeBron, if you're going to LA this summer, you got to up that. You got to top that somehow.
LA.
I'm here.
I'm coming, or yeah. Something like that.
I'm here. Getting off the plane, he needs to roll out the red carpet and have like trumpets and shit playing, and
yeah, something's got to happen.
Like. Shit, what was Shrek when Lord Farquaad?
Oh, yeah, rollout? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what LeBron's
he needs to ride in on a horse.
Yeah.
To get taken off the horse.
The king is here in the kingdom,
the
new kingdom.
Why don't you just put that? The king is here.
The king is here.
That would
billboards
be a nice
everywhere.
Headline. Very nice headline.
But I think it's cool. So everyone is putting up billboards in their cities trying to recruit LeBron. Awesome.
Even his hometown.
Yeah, even if it's Akron, this is home. Well, Akron, no. I mean, I'm sure he lives in Akron, but no, he has to play in Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Northeast Ohio, not the great. Like I
went to Cleveland last summer, and the best part about it was the zoo and the mural
of LeBron.
Yep,
that was it. Doesn't surprise me.
That wasn't and Wahlburgers. I can't lie.
Oh, Wahlburgers, they have a Wahlburgers in Cleveland.
Fire.
Okay,
fire.
Yeah, I'm going to Cincinnati next week, and I can't wait to get the BurgerFi. Like that's how I judge my location.
Remember when we got that?
Yeah, based on like the burger place situations. So I'm going to be at the.
Well, you're always going to have a time in your life when you want a burger.
Yeah,
it's just inevitable.
I'm going to be at the Reds. Who the fuck do they play? The Braves? I think they might play the Braves that week. So I'm going to be there to watch that. See, apparently the Reds are good this year. I don't follow baseball.
That's a surprise.
But I'll be there. I'll be drinking beer, and I'll be ready to watch some baseball. So let's make this a good game. But on to March Madness, what we came to talk about.
Yeah.
So completely, I had a project I was in the middle of, so I was working on that. Completely, you know, missed the games. But I went back and watched them. Watched pieces of like all the major highlights. Watched majority of the game. First thing that pops out to me: Kansas State beat Kentucky. And how the like this was set up perfectly for that. Like Virginia goes out. Who's the 2 seed in that bracket?
North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina gone. No, North Carolina wasn't.
Cincinnati was in there.
Cincinnati.
Bracket.
So it was Virginia gone. Cincinnati gone. Tennessee gone. 1, 2, and 3 out. 4 was Arizona
lost
out
in the first round. Gone.
Yeah. So this is set up specifically for Kentucky to make it to the Final Four.
Maybe even the championship.
Even the championship, because they would play the winner of, Michigan.
Loyola, Chicago.
No. Now,
you're talking to get to the championship? Yeah. They play the winner of Michigan and
Texas A&M.
Yeah. No, they just smacked Texas A&M.
Oh, Michigan. Who the fuck is Michigan playing tomorrow or next week? Fuck. Load, damn it. There we go. Florida State, Gonzaga. That Michigan, it's going to be Michigan. Florida State's the winner of that. Hell of a football game that would have been in 1998. Michigan and Florida State.
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
But yeah, so Kentucky was supposed to clean house in this one. But what cost them a victory over Kansas fucking State, not Kansas.
Something that is free.
Kansas State. Free throws. For the love of God. PJ Washington. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Okay, now yes, it does come down to the free throws. He has to hit those. Especially going, what did he go, like 7 of 18 or something?
No,
like that?
He went 8 of 20.
No, 8 of 20.
You missed 12 free throws.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You can't blame it all on the free throws, because if they would have got more defensive stops in the first or second half of the game, they definitely would have won the game. Because if it was that close the whole game, you'd get two stops that makes a difference in a game.
Dude, Xavier Sneed. 7-14 for the game. 5-8 from the three-point line. 22 points for Kansas State. That was your big player of the game. But we look at Kentucky's lineup.
They didn't even have their leading scorer, right?
No. You're talking about...
his last name, Wade?
Wade, yeah. He came off the bench.
And, yeah, he had a limited role.
Right. Only 4 points. But Kentucky players were saying, I hope he does play so they don't have an excuse. Well, where's your excuse? Your excuse is P.J. Washington missing 12 free throws. He would have put up 30 points. He'd have put up 30 points.
Yeah, he was hooping. He was hooping the whole game.
So. Yeah, except for at the free throw line. Which, and then you look at Gilgeous Alexander, whatever the hell his first name is.
Shy,
yeah. So he went 2 of 10 from the field but ended with 15 points. How the fuck does that happen?
Because he made like 12 free throws. What he
yes, mean? Okay. So
if he would have been at the line, they probably would have won. Let's just put it that way.
But then you get Nick Richards, who's your starting center, 0 for 0 from the field, 1 rebound, 1 point for Nick Richards.
Yeah.
That's not cutting it.
He's transferred.
Hamadou Diallo, the guy that was supposed to take over for Tyler Ulis. And
he wasn't even the point guard.
Yeah.
He was like the 2.
Who? Diallo?
Yeah.
Well, Diallo was supposed to be the point guard this year.
That would have been a disaster.
He should have. You talk about a guy that dominated the combine. Like, he won, like, everything. Vertical jump, high jump.
Yeah, all dude's an athletic freak.
Yeah, he just cannot play basketball. Like, they were talking about him not even, like, transferring or enrolling early to Kentucky and then not even playing for Kentucky, going straight to the NBA. And my man, 1 for 4, 2 points. That's what you get out of Diallo.
Trash.
And then P.J. Washington had 18 points with the 12 missed free throws. And then Kevin Knox with 13 points and 8 rebounds. But nothing off the bench. Sasha Kalea Jones, 0 points. Wenyen Gabriel, somebody that's supposed to be your, like, your what are the
experience guy.
Yeah, veteran.
He has a year of experience under his belt.
Yeah.
Be back next year.
Yeah. He'll
3 be
points.
The next senior at UK.
Right. And Quade Green, 6 points. In 25 minutes, 6. And Wenyen Gabriel, 3 points in 27 minutes. See,
you can't do that as the leader on the team. You know what I mean?
People want to say, oh, you can't blame it on free throws, but look at Calipari's past. At Memphis, he lost the championship because of missed free throws.
Yep.
At Kentucky, he allowed Isaiah Briscoe to play on a team when Isaiah Briscoe shot 30% for an entire season from the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to play on my basketball team as a guard, either guard.
Your point guard and shooting guard have to be able to make free throws because
at least
at the
60.
End of the,
that's it. 60.
At the end of the game, you know they're going to have the ball in their hands regardless.
Yeah.
So you're the one. They're the one that's going to set up the offense. They're the one that more than likely is going to get fouled because the big man's going to get the rebound and throw it right to the guard.
Yeah. So Calipari's lost the championship in Memphis because of free throws. He lost a couple championships in Kentucky probably because of free throws. The John Wall team, they couldn't shoot free throws. They lost to West Virginia. And now they lost this year to Kansas State, and where you had the golden path to the Final Four. And because you can't shoot free throws, you're going home. And that is all on John Calipari. I've actually seen and heard sports anchors all around the country putting John Calipari on the hot seat. And for the love of God, somebody needs to.
It's about time. What do you mean?
Yeah, this man needs to win a championship, or he needs to do something. Like, he's not even getting the top recruits anymore. Like, that was his like bread and butter. Was I'm just gonna roll in the top 5 players in the country, roll out the basketballs, and go play. And we're seeing he can't do that anymore.
That's just not happening.
Because all the top, literally the 3 top players all went to Duke this year for next year's class. He's getting out recruited by Duke. You got other teams that are encroaching on you. You've got 1 or 2 of the top 10 that go to some random school like Arizona or Washington or LSU.
He couldn't get Bamba. He couldn't get Aiton.
Oh, like, couldn't get Bamba. Couldn't get Trae Young. Couldn't get Aiton. What the hell? Like, he's losing his touch in Lexington.
Well, I'm telling you, people aren't going to go to Kentucky to sit on the bench.
Right.
So you see all these kids going there. You see the roster's full. I'm not sitting on the bench if I'm them.
Yeah.
Trae Young with Oklahoma made a name for himself.
Right.
And he wasn't going to get the same amount of touches at UK. That's why he told him not to come there. He said, you're not going to shoot the ball this many times a game.
The next game is the Ramblers. They just keep rambling.
Dude,
Sister Jean.
They're making the Final Four.
Loyola Chicago.
They
are literally the epitome of March Madness. These dudes have won, what is this, the third game they've won off a buzzer beater in this tournament or close damn near to it.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all,
they know how to win games down the stretch, and that's a dangerous team right there. They have experience with it.
Right. When my team is in the tournament, when the Louisville Cardinals are in the tournament, I'm having a heart attack every game. I don't give a fuck who we're playing. Every single game, my heart just can't handle it. How is Sister Jean doing this? She's like 98 years old.
She got God on her side, bro.
Right. So but how is he keeping her alive? Like, he is, her heart
God is
has
got
to be
dog.
Struggling right now. To make it through these games, to make it through the buzzer beaters. They won off a three-point shot last night.
Well, here's the thing. Their ball movement is crazy good. I don't know if you saw that possession or not where they swung it around like 20 times.
Yeah.
With the shot clock running down. Dude, pump fake, took one dribble in.
Yep.
Pulled up for a three, cash. I mean, that's hard offense to stop right there. They're consistently moving the ball, making the defense shift, and it just, I mean, you can't stop it.
I think clearly. This Loyola Chicago team, it's just like Butler with Gordon Hayward and Brad Stevens. But I think with Sister Jean on their side, if they make it to the title game, if they make this
championship game, they're winning.
That half court shot is falling.
Well, no, here's the thing: they're not even going to need that. They're going to hit the last second jumper that they've been doing every other game.
Yeah.
And this year has been the craziest tournament we've seen thus far. Like, what, we have three teams that are 9 or lower in the Elite Eight for the first time. We've had 16 beat a 1, obviously. We had one region with no top 4 seeds go to the Sweet 16. Like, it's just ridiculous. So, why can't an 11 seed win the championship?
Man.
It seems like it's happening to me.
Right. And the craziest thing is so Loyola Chicago now, they knocked off Miami, ACC power. They knocked, I don't know about power, but they're a pretty solid ACC team. Knocked off Tennessee, 3 seed, having one of the best seasons they've had in a long time. I wish they would have gotten the chance to play Cincinnati, because I think they would have fucked up Mick Cronin in their defense. I think they would have absolutely
with that ball movement
it.
You can almost beat anyone, man.
Right.
If you execute it every game, it's gonna be hard to stop.
Because Cincinnati, they're big and athletic and they're physical, but they're not very fast. Like, their ball reaction time, that's not how they play defense. They play defense by molesting you at the basket, pretty much. And in the Big East, in the American, you can do that. But I wish they would have gotten a chance. But Nevada, you saw how they handled Cincinnati. So it's kind of the same thing. But Loyola Chicago, Kansas State, I don't think has a prayer against Loyola Chicago.
I don't know, man. I mean, here's the thing. Once you get to this point in the tournament, these are the best teams left in college basketball, no matter how you put it. They're playing at the best time. Well, they're hot at the right time. They're playing the best basketball right now, and clearly they've gotten the farthest of any team that's left. So, you sit here and look at Kansas State and Loyola matchup, like, it's going to be a great game. You can't really tell me that one team is going to blow another team out at this point. And if it does happen, like, I mean, we had it happen in the past with who beat Oklahoma that year? Villanova? Blew them out in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fluke. Like, come on. They had Buddy Hield. They had all the hype, and then they go in and lay an egg. I don't think that's happening anymore.
Well, the thing I like about Loyola is the exact same thing I was just talking about with Kentucky. Kentucky had 3 players really score all their points. Loyola, starting center, 8 points. Custer with 15 points. Towns with 18 points. Richardson with 8 points. Jackson off the bench with 15 points. And they're all high shooting percentages. Like, everyone was – just about everybody was over 50%. I don't know how to say his name. Krutwig, 4-for-6. Custer, 7-for-9. Towns, 6-for-10. Ingram, 1-for-3. So he only had 2 points. But Richardson, 4-for-7. Jackson, 6-for-11. Everybody that scored on your team is over 50%. That's how you win games. Like, that is that is highly impressive. So I like that. The other games last night, Michigan might win this whole thing.
Michigan is doing things that I never thought Michigan would do. I knew they could shoot the ball, but they were playing excellent.
Gosh, wouldn't Kentucky love to have Charles Matthews right now?
Clearly, because they need somebody who can do something on the team.
Right. And
besides Alexander.
Right. And Calipari pretty much kicked him to the curb. Like, you're not starting here. But Matthews had 18 points. Mo Wagner had 21 points on 8-for-12 shooting. And then I don't want to begin.
How many did Poole have?
He didn't have all that much, I don't believe. So Poole, he only had 5 points. He came off the bench. He didn't even really contribute all that much.
I'm just wondering after he hit that shot how he's going to react.
Maybe that's good if you have somebody that has all that. You know, when you hit a shot like that, it can either go two ways. One, you're just lights out. Like, you're just going balls to the wall the rest of the tournament, and you're not missing. You're the player of the tournament. Or two, you hit that shot, and you go balls to the wall, and you're just throwing up everything, and you're shooting your team out of games. Mm-hmm. Like the Harrisons. Like, that's exactly what happened with the Harrison twins.
But, I mean, comparing to the Harrisons, it's kind of bad because Aaron was hitting the last second shot every game.
Right, and then he got that feeling, and then against Wisconsin, it didn't pan out. Is that two different tournaments?
I think so.
I don't know if that was two different. Like, if he hit all the shots in one tournament, I'm thinking.
No, they beat Wisconsin that year. Remember?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
They made
right.
it to. They made. So I'm thinking of two different tournaments. And then,
they're junior or senior year, whatever the hell the year they left. They definitely lost that game against Wisconsin Kentucky. Yeah, because Calipari refused to take them out and put in.
Booker and Ulysses. Which clearly you see the careers that they're having really differed.
I feel like they all play for the Phoenix Suns. All four of them play for the Phoenix Suns? Maybe. Two of them definitely do.
Two of them do. Yeah. They have Knight on the team. I mean, Phoenix Suns love the Kentucky organization.
I don't understand why. And, like, it doesn't. This is
but they only love the guards. I don't know. They're not usually in the draft lottery, like at number one.
Right. To get the bigs.
You get the big men, yeah.
Because the guards, besides John Wall, like. All of Kentucky's guards have never been that good. We've talked about
Rondo's
that.
Rondo's been good.
Oh, Rondo, but that wasn't under
Calipari.
Rondo's
the only one with the championship.
Rondo didn't even want to go to Kentucky. So that's. I know. And honestly, I remember when Rondo came out of Kentucky, all the talk was he's leaving way too early. He has no offensive game. This is not going
to
translate.
And the Phoenix Sun drafted him too, and then they traded him to the Celtics. So
I was at fun fact. I was actually at his draft party.
How?
So he got drafted. I was at. My middle school basketball team, we went to the UK basketball camp, and it was during draft week, and he was there. And you know when they he wasn't at the draft, he was there, and we were all in the back of his draft.
Wow,
so that was
kind of
cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
So fun fact about that. but no, and then what was the last game last night? Florida State Gonzaga. Florida State, they lost five of their last eight games.
They lost to U of L.
They lost five of the last eight games. Go to the first round of the ACC tournament, get smacked by U of L.
What is going on?
Right.
They got in and we didn't. Right. We beat them twice.
That's what I'm saying about Louisville. If for the love of that,
if we could have got in this tournament, man, I think we could have made a little bit of noise.
Louisville wouldn't have done something. Like if
maybe not the Elite Eight, but we would have made a little noise. I think.
Shit,
but
at this point, who knows?
Yeah, true. We might have won it all.
Who's still around? Purdue is still around. Louisville played them to the final shot.
Is Haas going to play? I remember we were talking about it before the show. Is he going to play?
They said if he can show that he can perform like basic basketball things, which he cannot do at the moment. But that brace he was wearing looked like it had like a spike hanging off the end of it.
Isn't he right-handed?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was his right elbow, right?
Yeah.
So what effect is he going to have on the game?
Right. I don't think he'll play, but he's.
I don't think he needs to.
He's
man.
Definitely. Well, it's a big Texas Tech.
No, I'm
he
saying,
definitely
I'm
needs
saying
to.
They need to. Yeah. He needs to play, but I'm saying as far as for his health reasons, like, chill out, take rest up that elbow.
But Florida State Gonzaga. This is if Louisville could have gotten that 0.9 seconds and just survived Virginia, they'd be in the tournament. They probably would have been like an 8 seed,
if
which blows my
would
mind.
Not have ran the baseline.
Right, and the fact that Florida State is still in gives me faith that Louisville could have made it pretty far, but. This side of the bracket that we're going to tonight, so the games we have are Clemson, Kansas, West Virginia, Villanova, Syracuse, Duke, Texas, Purdue. With the exception of Syracuse, this side of the bracket, there's been upsets, but nothing to the effect of the other side of the bracket.
Yeah, and it's really weird that it's not happening because you think if one side of the bracket's doing this, then the entire thing is doing this. But
right.
It looks like that's not the case. Even though Syracuse could mess around and make the final
four. If Syracuse
four.
Beats Duke, I quit. I quit. Like
Duke should honestly win the tournament. Let's be honest.
Duke has the most talent by far. The only team that's got more talent than them at a position is Villanova with Jalen Brunson. Other than that,
Kansas may have him at point guard because Devontae Graham is.
Oh yeah, I forgot about
Devontae
Graham. So that'd be Duke Kansas. That's a matchup we want.
Villanova has to get past Press Virginia.
That's true.
We thought they were going to lose first round in New Mexico State, right?
Yeah.
So they're clearly proving us wrong.
I fucking love Bob Huggins. I fucking love Bob Huggins.
He's a great coach.
There was a reporter that asked him, you played against Villanova in your time in the Big East. You guys had battles or anything like that. He's like, is there anything that you can use from that game or for those games in the past that would be relevant? Or you remember anything about him? And he said, I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. I'm like, Bob Huggins is awesome. Like, he is one of the coolest coaches that there is. He's a lot like Mike Leach, and I love
Mike. They kind of look alike, almost.
Just different hair colors. Still got the belly. They got the fucking I don't care anymore.
Facial features a little different, but they still kind of look alike.
Bob Huggins is another guy in basketball that is a football guy. Ed Cooley at Providence, like rip your pants, put a towel over it. That's a football guy move. That's what a football coach does. Bob Huggins, same way. He just has the big fat belly, and he doesn't care. He's not going to apologize for it. He's going to go beat your team by 50 and then go out and drink a lot of – Bob Huggins belongs in Louisville. Like, he does
– I would not oppose having him as our coach, man.
Could you imagine the press conferences he would have after games talking about all the bourbon he's going to go – just different bourbons in Louisville? Louisville drinks more than any other city in the world, so that's not true. But
it's, let's talk about that for a little bit. So
during Derby Week.
Yeah, true. Derby Week is nuts. But let's talk about Louisville coaching situation. So we know Chris Mack is going to be interviewed, and we're meeting with him, and he's our number one candidate.
Vince Tyra, the AD at Louisville, already went to Cincinnati.
Yeah, he took that private plane.
A private plane. It took 18 minutes to get there. Can you not drive? Like, I feel like
2 hours.
Let's talk about that for a second.
The time
driving to the airport, getting through all the shit, like getting on the private jet, taking off, launching.
If it's private, it's not going to take that long.
I know, but still, launching, you still got
to.
I mean,
we're launching
like,
these planes
gotta,
to Cincinnati. You still got to prep the plane. Is that what we're doing now? Yeah,
you still
we got rockets.
Prep,
to the
yeah,
airport?
You still got to prep the plane. You got to get in, then you take off. You land in Cincinnati. 18 minutes
you
later.
You can't even take a nap.
You probably have to, you might have to wait for like the airway to clear or the runway to clear and all that shit. Drive to park the plane, get a rental car, drive to Xavier. You could, I feel like that is still a 2 hour process.
But
and he could have drove his ass up there the same amount of time.
But I mean, 2 hours to get there, then sit down and have like an hour or so meeting, then drive back for two more hours. That's damn near 6 hours.
That just seems like a lot of trouble for me to fly to from Louisville to Cincinnati. That's crazy.
Let's talk about this. So do we think Chris Mack is the answer to our problems at U of L? Because I honestly think we could do better.
Well, the thing is, who's available that's better?
Well, it depends. I've heard a lot of people are interested in the job.
Right.
But people who are at big-time programs obviously usually don't jump ship like that because they're secure. But I just don't know about his defense, which is what he's going to change the culture. Whoever comes in is changing the culture of U of L, because we were known as a defensive school who's going to press you, get up in your face, be all over you, 94 feet or the whole game.
Yeah,
and we shoot a lot of threes. At Xavier, pace is different.
Well, they play a fast paced offense. Defense, not so much.
Well, just in the pace of the game, just in general. And his recruiting, obviously, is going to go up with the more money you get, the more
amenities. Yeah, two top 15 recruiting classes at Xavier was the only reason I'm cool with this.
I'm fine with him being the coach. I just think maybe we could intrigue one of these big-name guys to come through, and then we get our program doesn't take a step down. No shot at Chris Mack there.
I don't want anything else besides, like, of all the coaches I've seen listed, like Eric Musselman from Nevada, some of the other coaches I've seen, I would be – less than thrilled, I would say, with any other coach besides Chris Mack. But I would have liked to have seen them try to go after Jay Wright first. Like
him? I mean,
don't say Tony Bennett. I'd rather gouge my eyes out than watch Tony Bennett coach Louisville, because then I have to watch that garbage. Tony Bennett, let me tell you, I heard Chris Long on Part of My Take say that he's the best coach in the country. No, he's not. He is not. The best coach in the country doesn't lose. Within 4 years, he's lost to a 15 seed and a 16 seed. You're not the best coach of the country if that happens to you.
Yeah, I don't want
it. No, not a chance. You play the most boring style of basketball. It's great if
you can never trust him in the tournament.
Right. It's great.
I'm never picking Virginia to go past the Sweet 16 ever again.
Virginia's style of play is great if you keep the other team under 50. But the other team comes out stroking, you're fucked because you're not getting them back in that game.
Well, that's the thing. You come back, you can't turn your style of play from, I'm telling you, just like we talked about last episode where it was like NCAA March Madness 2010 where you had the up-tempo and the half-court teams.
Yeah.
When you have to switch the up-tempo from half-court to up-tempo.
Fucks you up.
It messes you up, but you're playing right into the other team's hands. So what are you going to do then? If you're making shots, they're making shots, fast-paced game, you're not used to it.
Yeah, you're fucked. Exactly. You got no chance. You can't just tell Kyle Guy to press for 94 feet now to get the – it's not going to happen.
No, he hasn't been doing it all year. He's not going to be able to do it right then and there. Come
right.
On now.
So keep Tony Bennett away from my Louisville Cardinals. you know, the thing is, being a national podcast, being a Louisville fan, it's a struggle for us because we Louisville fucked up. Like, they just did. Like, the school, like, Rick Pitino,
the whole organization. Like, not just the athletic department, the entire organization.
You know what would have helped Rick Pitino's legacy so much is if he would have retired after the 2013 national championship. Because I guarantee that banner would still be there.
The banner should still be there anyway, well, yeah, but we're going to digress.
But if he retires after 2013, all of those stripper parties and everything like that allegedly happened either right like during that or like right after that. Most of them right after that for like the recruits, like Antonio Blakeney and all those guys happened after that. So if he would have just let shit go and just went out on top, he'd be fine right now.
Yes, he would.
And Louisville would have probably, at that point, Chris Mack still probably would have been our coach. The rumors were that the old AD, Tom Jurich, always wanted Chris Mack, which makes me feel good because Tom Jurich is a great eye of talent. Like, he's picked up some of the greatest coaches.
Honestly, wish we still had Tom as our AD, but, you know.
I like Vince Tyree. He's doing it.
He's good, but he's going to be the interim. He's not, I mean, he might be the hired.
That's the other thing that Louisville's fucking up with. They don't have a president. They don't have an AD. They don't have a solid board. They have interim everythings. And they're going.
The only thing we have solid, pretty much, is women's basketball coach.
They're doing this ass backwards. You don't hire the head coach first and then the AD and then the president.
Because what if they don't get along? Then we're firing him 2 years in and then it's like we're back at square one.
Right. So you hire the president first. So he hires his athletic director. So that athletic director hires his basketball coach.
Exactly.
Instead, we're doing this ass backwards and just hopefully everybody gets along.
They're not going to have a choice because Chris Mack's going to, if he gets hired, he's signing his contract. Then say Tyree doesn't get hired.
Yeah.
You have a new AD coming in, new rules, all this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Then new president comes in. What if all three of them don't get along? Or what if two of them like each other and one of them doesn't? Then how are you gonna deal with that as a university?
That's why the old regime at UofL with Pitino and Jurich and who was the old Ramsey? They all loved each other. So
clearly,
a little bit too much. Because oh my god, just the turmoil at UofL. If your degree means something in a couple years, you should be happy.
I'm trying to get out of there. Yeah, in May coming soon.
But As far as the coaching search goes, it's gonna cause it's a domino effect. So I think at this point I will put a lot of money on it that Chris Mack's next Louisville coach because we've been in Cincinnati. He's come here. You're not gonna walk into the nicest college basketball arena that there is and say no. You're just not. $100 million athletic budget. The problems are in the past. Even if Louisville's facing like another like with the FBI thing, if they start laying on those schools,
well, everybody is. Yeah. Everybody's in trouble.
Right. So I'm not too worried about that. But even if something does happen, like another postseason ban or whatever, you work that into Chris Mack's contract and he builds up from there and he'll be fine.
Hopefully he can land as Romeo.
Yeah. Romeo Langford, that would be incredible. But Xavier then has to hire a coach. And I've looked at Xavier like online message boards, stuff like that. And they were wanting to bring back Thad Matta. Like, what the fuck? Thad Matta was the coach. Sean Miller was his assistant. Sean Miller was the coach. Chris Mack was his assistant.
I heard that David Padgett is actually getting looked at for that Xavier job.
David
Padgett,
David Padgett's going to be a star in college basketball one day.
If Chris Mack is smart, I think he may keep him around just to kind of like introduce him to the culture at Louisville, so he's
and
not going
keep
in
the
alone.
Players that are currently there happy because you got to recruit those guys first. Otherwise, you're recruiting 12 players instead of five.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That needs to happen. So, to some college football pro days. It's pro day season. One thing I thought was weird, scrolling through Instagram, you see all these guys from other schools competing on other people's pro days. Creeps me out.
Well, did you see Johnny Manziel competing?
Yeah, okay, this is one thing. I have a problem with Carrie Champion right now, right? Because she brought up on Sports Nation that all these teams are coming to look at Johnny Manziel, but nobody's looking at Colin Kaepernick. No, they're not. Johnny Manziel is throwing at San Diego's pro day. They're there to look at San Diego's players.
And
he just happens to be the quarterback there. Colin Kaepernick, not to go all the way into that again, but he's been away from the league for 2 years now. Nobody knows if Colin Kaepernick was smart, he'd go to one of these college pro days.
Yeah, he should go to a pro day.
To Alabama's because I'm sure Saban will let you throw to his players.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a draft eligible quarterback. So that's what they're looking for. Like if a school doesn't have a draft eligible quarterback, they don't have anybody to throw to their receivers.
Well, here's the thing: if you go to all the schools that don't have draft eligible quarterbacks and throw at every one of them, you're going to get seen by every team. Every
team.
And they'll somebody's going to want you because Brock Osweiler just got signed to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
So if he can make a team, Colin Kaepernick can make a team.
Right. Brock Osweiler, so garbage. But
and obviously John Elway can't scout quarterbacks to save his life.
Except for signing Peyton Manning.
He signed one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. He didn't scout him.
Yeah, and then he's going after Case Keenum now. He did get Case Keenum. Case Keenum's going to be so bad this year. Just wait for it. It's going to be laughable.
He should have went and got Kirk.
He tried. He failed because that Vikings team looks just too damn good next year.
Yeah, it is
a but when Brock brought pro days, the first thing that I thought was weird was not a lot of people will know, but we know. Kyle Bolin played football for Louisville. He's a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He started a couple games. Transferred to Rutgers. He did the grad transfer thing. He was at Rutgers Pro Day. And this motherfucker on his Instagram today, he's from Lexington, Kentucky, said, shout out to UK for the Pro Day gear. He is the quarterback for UK's Pro Day. That made me so mad. I'm like, how are you going to do that to Louisville fans? Like, what? Like, we didn't like you that much. I mean, you beat UK in the most dramatic way possible.
Well, he's not coming back here, so what do you expect him to do?
No, it's just still, it's annoying to me. You just seeing the Bolin 9.
How can you? Well, I guess he graduated, so he can do whatever he wants, right? Yeah. So that's what I'm wondering. How do you go from doing? Why don't you do it at Rutgers?
He did Rutgers Pro Day already.
And then how do you get to do multiple Pro Days as a quarterback?
Right. That's like, what I'm trying to figure out.
Can Lamar go to somewhere else and do a Pro Day? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, can Lamar go throw to? Because I don't even know who the draft eligible receivers are that he's gonna be throwing to at U of L. Reggie Bonifon. That's who's gonna be throwing to. So I would, if I was Lamar, I'd be like, okay, I'll do Louisville's Pro Day, but then can I go to like Alabama and throw to Cameron Ridley or something like that? Oklahoma and throw to the beast receiver that they have. The next thing about Pro Days. So if I have to hear something else about Josh Allen's draft stock going up because he threw it 80 yards in shorts, I'm gonna lose my mind.
Dude has an arm. Correct. Yes, we all know that. He can throw it all over the place.
Can he throw it accurately a mile?
It looks like he can. But here's the thing. He's not in pads, and he doesn't have Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, which is looking like they're going to pair up
right
on the Rams, coming down his throat for the whole hour that he's playing out
right
there.
Or Von Miller rushing off the end.
Or he doesn't have your boy Xavier Rhodes guarding his best receiver. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, but
it's easy to happen when you're out there in shorts and a T-shirt just slinging the ball around like you do in the backyard. You're going to look great. Your mechanics shouldn't be off if you've been a quarterback all your life. What else can you tell me that you could show me out there that I haven't seen on film?
The next thing that triggered me, so during USC's Pro Day, it was raining. And they're my God, yeah. Sam Darnold can throw in the rain. I'm like, are you serious?
They're saying he's going to be the Browns' next quarterback.
Oh, my God. What? Yeah, go ahead and draft him, Cleveland. Like, he can throw in the rain in shorts, and he's a big dude. Cool, draft him.
They already got Tyrod Taylor. I don't really understand.
Well, they have to
draft. I know they're going to draft a quarterback, but, like, if they draft
a quarterback at number one,
They're idiots.
Oh, my God. If they don't draft Saquon Barkley, they're out of their mind.
I don't think they don't need – who'd they get a running back?
Who do they have a running back?
Yeah, they have Duke Johnson.
They have the running back that played at Georgia for a little bit. I forgot his name. They've got pretty good – they don't have Saquon Barkley.
Well, I know, but they just got somebody. They just signed someone.
Not a running back?
I'm pretty sure because we were talking about it the other day where it was like they don't need Saquon now because they got Jarvis. They got
Josh Gordon.
They got Tyrod, and they got someone else. I'm going to look it up.
Okay. But, no, regardless, it's still a good running back can carry you to the playoffs. Look at the Cowboys. Look at the freaking Jaguars. A good running back, especially a rookie running back these days, most of the time they lead the league in rushing, can take you to the playoffs. So draft Saquon, number one. Him and Tyrod are good enough to win you games, and then you let your rookie sit for a year. Here's the thing. Tyrod Taylor – is not good enough to win you a Super Bowl, but he's good enough to
get you to the playoffs at least. Right.
But he's good enough to keep you out of the top 10 picks. And out of the top 10 picks, you're never going to find your quarterback. You're going to be in quarterback purgatory forever like the Bills were. So this is your chance. You've got two top five picks. This is your chance.
They got Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde.
I'm just saying, man. Yeah. He had a great year in San Francisco. So.
He had a great couple games, I think. He's not Saquon.
He's not Saquon. I still would go with Saquon.
Walk on to any NFL team right now besides the Jaguars and the Cowboys and start.
Look, he can.
And maybe the Saints.
He's going to split carries with Zeke. That's for damn sure. Yeah. He's going to punt return. He's going to kick return. Right. He's going to be the running back. He can play quarterback. He can play wide receiver. He can do it all. He should have won the Heisman. I'm still salty.
He, Yeah, no, I think anybody besides the Saints, because they've got Kamara and Ingram, anybody besides the Cowboys, anybody besides the Jaguars, he'll walk on and start right now.
Pretty much.
In the NFL. At least take carries from whoever you got, because I think those are the best running backs.
Well, you have to have a committee of running backs. You've seen that with the Patriots. That's how you be successful. You have a great quarterback. You have a committee of running backs who can do different things. Like Blunt was the power runner. James White was the receiver.
Lewis was slashing.
Deion Lewis was everything combined, kind of. So you see, if you have a committee of running backs, it pretty much works better for your entire offense.
Oh, and he wouldn't start for the Steelers, probably.
No, he's not starting over Le'Veon. But he might, because Le'Veon may hold out, right? Or did he accept his franchise tag?
No, he accepted because his franchise tag, he accepted because it was 14.5, making him like the highest paid running back.
He's worth it.
I'm sorry, but like I understand a lot of NFL players. I get it. I totally get like the guaranteed. You want the long-term future. He wanted a long-term contract.
Well, because he might get hurt, and then he's basically thrown in the trash.
Yeah, but he's getting $14.5 million
this year. It's hard to pass that up.
I could survive the rest of my life on $14.5 million and be just fine.
Yep.
You just got to manage better is all I got to say. Like those players that go – broke, like Antoine Walker, who had two max salaries in the NBA and went flat broke.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous. I just want to know – I bet he had a great time. Somebody needs to make a movie about that.
Yeah, we should make a movie
about.
Let's get him on the show to interview him. How did you go broke?
Yeah, how did you go broke? Was it fun?
Oh yeah.
Can we make a movie about how much fun you had?
Was it fun is not even a question. Like how much fun did you have is the question.
Exactly.
Because you're just going through money like that. You're buying all kinds of shit. You're just doing reckless stuff, and you know it's fun. You're at the club every day. Like
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I think that'd make a great movie.
Ooh, that's a good signing for the Cowboys. Allen Hurns. They finally have another receiver opposite Dez. Might make him be Dez again.
They had Cole Beasley. Problem is.
But Cole Beasley's a slot. So you put him in the slot, have Allen Hurns outside of him because Terrence Williams is trash. And then you have Dez Bryant out there. Their offense looking a little more deadly now.
Well, the problem is that I've said it before and I'll
Dak sucks.
Dak sucks. Yeah. He's so overrated. Just like Blake Bortles. It's the running back effect. You got a good running back.
What is going on with Jacksonville? They're letting everyone go.
Yeah.
They lost both their receivers. Robinson left too.
Yeah. They must have. Who is the receiver that they took?
Well, we got the dude from Kentucky Wesleyan, right, Cole?
Yeah.
He's good, but still, y'all almost went to the Super Bowl. Why are you breaking up that team in general unless you're planning on drafting a wide receiver? But who's the good wide receivers coming out this year?
They need to be thinking quarterback, honest to God. Like, they ain't going nowhere. Their defense is great.
I'm telling you, Lamar's not going in the first round. I wish he would, but I'm telling you, I don't think anybody's going to do it, pull the trigger on him. So they draft him maybe second round and then get the wide receiver first round. He's taking the spot from Broidles. I don't care if they just gave him a contract or not. Give Broidles three games to suck because it's what's going to happen because Leonard Fournette is not going to be able to carry that team.
And when you have a guy,
Lamar's in there.
When you have a guy like Lamar Jackson as your backup,
people are going to want to see him play.
Oh yeah, the first time Bortles throws interceptions, Lamar.
That number eight is going to be great.
Happen.
Yep.
I'm going to be sad when he doesn't get number eight in the NFL. Like he's going to go somewhere where they already got number eight. I'm going to be pissed.
Nah, he'll get it. He'll get it somehow.
He needs that number eight. I don't like when he wore seven in high school. I didn't like that. I'm like you don't
want to be Michael Vick.
He was trying to be, but he's better than Vick.
It's almost like the Kobe Mike situation, how Kobe changed the number from 8 to 24 to 1-up Mike.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
7, 8.
Could you imagine if Michael Vick came out like this day and age?
Michael Vick would be the best quarterback ever.
Well, yeah, but like he would have gone through the same turmoil as Lamar.
He would have been running back receiver.
Lamar had better passing stats, better rushing stats.
Isn't he bigger than him?
And he's bigger than him in college, and he had better stats all across the board.
He won the damn Heisman.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mike Vick didn't win no Heisman.
Mike Vick was on the cover of Madden though.
Lamar Jackson will be on. Lamar has to have two good years. He'll have a Madden cover. But I almost don't want him to have a Madden cover.
Madden curse is real.
Yeah, wait till he's like 11 years in the league and he's got three or four Super Bowls, and then you can put him on the Madden cover.
Three or four Super Bowls.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Then you know, I don't think Peyton Manning was ever on Madden.
He shouldn't have been, or maybe once. I don't know.
I
think he was on there once.
Brett Favre wasn't on Madden until he retired. Tom Brady wasn't on Madden until he already had a bunch of Super Bowls.
Let me look this up.
And then he had his hand injury, so Madden curse like lived on. Did you hear what happened to Michael Bennett? I know it's popping up right now, but he was at some event.
Oh, yeah, at the Super Bowl.
Was it at the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So brushed past somebody, and apparently they're pressing some type of charge. Maybe I'm missing some of this story.
He has a warrant out for his arrest. Makes no sense.
Well, it really sucks that they just sent him to Philly. Well, I guess the Super Bowl is in Minnesota.
injuring a 66-year-old paraplegic woman following Super Bowl 51.
Yeah. So, Michael Bennett, since he's got a warrant on his arrest in Minnesota, he's good till they, you know, the good thing about the Eagles is they play the Vikings week one in Philadelphia, so they don't have to go to Minnesota this year. So as long as he stays out of Minnesota, he's straight.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go back.
Not to break away from this conversation we're having here, but I'm looking at the Madden covers, and I don't think Peyton was on there, but Vince Young made the damn cover.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. I was hype. And then his career turned to shit. Brett Favre made
it. Calvin Johnson made it. We had a dual cover where we had Larry Fitz and Paul Molly on it. And Peyton Hill has made the damn cover.
I remember that. I was mad. I didn't buy that Madden.
I did.
I was like nationally ranked in Madden. I was in like the top 500 of the world. I was legit.
And you didn't buy 2012?
Nope. Stop. Because I didn't like Peyton Hill. So I was like, Sean, what is Alexander this trash? Was
on it. I think the first Madden game I ever had was Madden 2003 with Isaac Bruce.
Really?
Or Marshall Faulk, not Isaac Bruce.
Marshall Faulk. Yep. Had that. Marshall Faulk was a G.
Yes, he was.
Who's your favorite Madden player ever? Like,
that's not even a question.
Was it 2004 Mike Vick?
Yes.
Yeah, come on. He was a cheat code. Like, you couldn't stop
the run, and he could pass through anyone. So it's like, what are you doing? If he did not go to jail, I'm telling you, the Falcons were going to win 1-1 at least two Super Bowls.
What year was Vince Young on there? 2010.
Yep.
Okay, so 2010, that exact Madden, the most Vince Young like offense. Or not Vince Young, most Vic-like unstoppable offense was Vince Young, Chris Johnson, and running the fucking screen.
Yes.
Unstoppable.
Chris Johnson, speed was 99,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
First player to ever have 99 speed was him and Devin Hester, right?
Devin Hester was the first one to have 100. Oh, they straight up gave Devin Hester 100 speed.
Dude was fast.
Yeah.
Speaking he should have made in that cover.
The last story that I had that I forgot to mention here. So, Usain Bolt has been training to play soccer. He's been training.
Oh my god!
He's been training with. Let me pull up the team here.
This is like
Borussia Dortmund.
Hmm.
So he's been training with them, right?
Dortmund.
They're a Puma sponsored team, so that's probably why he was training with them.
Yeah.
But so he's training with the team. The coach, the manager, whoever it is in soccer, says that he's a freak athlete, but he's got a long way to go if he wants to play soccer at this level. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's got
No, he does, though, because it's not just about the strict speed. You have to have the footwork to go with the speed. If he could run that fast and dribble the ball with his feet, then hell yeah. Don't tell me he can't play soccer at this level. Well, here's the
thing. Goalkeepers in soccer, they can kick the ball the length of the field, right?
Yeah,
My man is 6'8" and the fastest man in the world. Kick that ball down the field, Heather. Let him sprint and go get it.
It's almost like the LeBron or the John Wall commercial where he throws it up, and then he throws it from one end of the court and then goes dunks it backwards.
Yes.
Where they cut it, obviously.
Exactly.
But I think he would be able to do that.
Or like corner kicks. He's 6'8". Find me another 6'8 soccer player besides the dude.
Is he really 6'8"?
Yeah.
No wonder he's so damn fast.
Yeah.
He's striding on everybody.
What's the dude, Schweinsteiger, from the German national team? He's like 6'8".
He's huge.
And he's a beast. So you can teach this man footwork.
Oh, no, you can teach it to him. Yeah. Trust me, you can teach it to him. But
I would sign him in a heartbeat because look what you're going to do, Dortmund. What's going to happen is you're going to fuck around and be like, oh, he's not ready. And then, like, Manchester United's going to sign him, and he's going to be the next fucking Messi or something, and he's just going to dominate two sports.
Well, what's going to happen is, like, they have levels basically just like minor league baseball does.
Right.
So I figure you sign him, put him in your minor league teams.
Let him go kick ass.
Sell tickets. Let him go get better. And then, obviously, if he wants to get better, he's going to have to keep working for it. And then he can come up to the big league, the Premier League, or wherever they're playing.
I've actually heard that as awesome as the experience is at, like, a big-time, like, English Premier League soccer game, like, just the fandom, how crazy it is, the minor leagues are equally – like, they're still fucking nuts about
them. No, they love
them.
Soccer. Doesn't matter what level it is. It could be youth soccer. They're packing the house.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
That's the thing that's
crazy.
They're
the best fans. Soccer has the best fans out of everybody.
Yeah, because, like, the United States, we go apeshit.
We get mad if somebody kneels during the national anthem and we'll protest the entire sport and not even watch it on TV.
Those stadiums are packed. We're nuts about the NFL. The NFL ratings are dominant. Like, the Super Bowl most watched event of the year, besides the year that the World Cup is there. But we still have empty stadiums.
The NBA All-Star game as well. That's one of the most watched ones.
We have an empty stadiums in football every week. There's not that many games, which is really crazy.
Well, you know, you only got one game on. It's on Sunday, and it only goes from what, August to February.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't. That's why the stadium should be more packed, and they're not. Americans are lazy. We need to go out and support our teams.
Well, you can just stream it now.
Yeah, you can stream it. The best seat in the house is watching.
They're not streaming soccer. They're going to the games so they can talk shit to
and
the
if they're
fans.
Not at the games, they're at the bar right outside the stadium because they couldn't get in, and that bar is wild. Yeah. You know what's crazy? During the World Series, this is where it gets nuts. The World Series, like teams like the Cubs when they won it, the bars outside the stadium were selling tickets to get into the bar to watch the game on TV.
That's nuts.
For $50 to $100.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that is solid marketing right
there. I'm really trying to go to a World Cup. Like, and I hear we may get it.
We're going to split it with
Mexico and Canada.
No, hell no. We don't need to do that.
I'm fine with that because we can't. Where are we going to play the World Cup at? L.A.?
We could play at L.A., Dallas, New York. We're not playing.
There's no way in hell we're hosting that in New York.
You can host it in New York.
No, no shot. New York.
When they had talks of Qatar taking the World Cup from them, they were like, "Well, it has to go to the U.S. because in that time frame, the U.S. is the only country that could host it. Because these third world countries that host it, I don't know if Brazil's a third world country. I think it is, but they have to build these massive stadiums.
We
already have.
We had to do several assignments in class and stuff about how, like, they shouldn't even be hosting it because. They're going to go to waste.
Stadiums go to waste afterwards.
It's just like the Olympics.
Yeah.
Olympics are really like nobody has gained from the Olympics, I think, except for the Atlanta one.
Yeah. Atlanta became huge after that Olympics, if I'm not mistaken
about what I learned in grad school.
Yeah.
I think Atlanta's the only one that profited off of it.
Yeah. Everyone else, it kills your economy, and then you have these massive stadiums that just sit in.
The bird's nest literally is a bird's nest. They don't use it for anything.
Yeah, no concerts.
What's the point of building it?
We'll see. And then they're talking about in Qatar, they have, like, it's pretty much like slave labor to build these stadiums. You have people dropping dead on a daily basis to build this. And that's why they were thinking about taking it from them. But then they just had this giant, half-empty, half-built stadium. But
we're going to go to Qatar. Okay, fine. But, like you said, once we leave, nobody's ever going to Qatar to play soccer again.
Yeah, exactly. But if they brought it to the United States, you could play all these massive new stadiums. You could play in Minnesota. You could play it in L.A. You could play it in Dallas. You could play it Atlanta and their massive new stadium. You could play it all over the country.
You have that much spread out, though?
Yeah. Because Brazil was that spread out. Brazil was, like, top to bottom.
But that's Olympics. That's not
World Cup. Brazil had the World Cup, too. They had the last.
They did, yeah, because Neymar and them won it. Yeah. I remember that. But still, like, that. It wasn't that spread out. I don't think it was that spread out if we could have it in L.A., Atlanta, New York, wherever the big stadiums are.
Spreading it out in Mexico, United States, and Canada, then you have to have a passport to go to all three countries, depending on where your team is.
That's true. And pros and cons. We need to make a pros and cons list.
Honest to God, wouldn't it suck, though, if your team got sent to Mexico? Like, if they're playing in Mexico City. Mexico City is one of the most crime-ridden cities in the world.
Yeah.
That would suck. And leave it to the United States to make that World Cup and then not get to play the United States, have to go to Mexico or Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Canada wouldn't be so bad.
Canada's fine. Canada's
also, you know what I've heard about Canada? Like, I've heard the free healthcare is great, and Joe, our first co-host, he's about to live there. But, you know, if you need to have an MRI done, it takes 6 months to have an MRI. That's the free healthcare. Like, it's great you have free healthcare. Like, if you get a bump or bruise, you can go get that taken care of for free, but if you have something serious, like you need an MRI done, six months.
So you could have like a broken bone and it'd be healed damn near by the time.
Yeah, or healed crooked or something.
Yeah.
They
need to work on getting the speed up a little bit.
Right. Because imagine like all the people in America who don't have health care and they just don't get their problems fixed because they don't have the money to do it. Well, if they didn't have to have the money to do it, think about how flooded our medical system. I mean, I get it. I get both sides, but we're not politicians.
I got not yet anyway, right?
Yeah.
Now I got a statement that's probably gonna make my dad mad. LeBron James is the best basketball player to ever play.
Right. That's what
I just can't fight it anymore. I'm choosing not to fight it anymore. The man had 35 points, 17 assists, and 0 turnovers.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I don't understand how you can argue it. Man,
he's playing better in his 15th season than he did in any of his other seasons.
Yeah.
He's more efficient.
And he's got probably one of the less talented teams he's ever been on.
Well, granted, he's not really playing that much defense this year.
Yeah.
Because he's got to save his juice for the offensive end.
Yeah.
But if he was playing defense like he used to, the dude would there'd be no contest. He'd be the best basketball player.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. When the playoffs start, he's going to play that defense.
He has no choice.
Look what they did to the Raptors the other night. The Raptors were up like 25 points, and they come back and win. Huh?
They came all the way back and win. That just shows they're just playing with people.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like LeBron.
The only time he plays defense is when somebody else gets a steal, and he wants to go for the chase down block.
And now you see Kyrie Irving is having that knee surgery. Mm-hmm. I think they said it's going to be a minor
invasive surgery.
Invasive surgery. Well, if it was a major invasive surgery, they wouldn't have said it.
No, obviously not. They're not. Nobody's going to say out here like, "Yeah, Kyrie's done."
Yeah, but if I don't know he's done. I don't. Honestly, like Kyrie, I wouldn't risk shit because you talk about a guy like Grant Hill, where they talked about Grant Hill said many times they ruined my career by practicing medicine on me. They wanted to experiment with shit and it fucked me up. And you worry about Kyrie, a guy who goes under the knife a lot.
Well, you got him there injured. Then you have
Gordon
still trying to come back from Marcus injury. Jaylen Brown's injured. Marcus Brown. Smart. Like the Celtics need to just get healthy.
Yeah,
and they may mess around and be the best team in the East.
Right. Well, they've
proven it without Gordon Hayward that they can do some dangerous things.
Yeah.
And granted, even though LeBron is LeBron, he dunking on people like that. I still think that Celtics team, fully healthy, full strength, 100%, they're going to give the Cavs all they want.
You know, I think what makes LeBron so good now, and we're just watching LeBron highlights right now on TV,
is
just
how
fucking crafty he's gotten in his old age. Like he's been
this the whole time.
He's had great like moves. He's got great passes, but the shit where like he faked the pass to Korver with one hand and then passed it down low, not looking.
Did you not see his no look montage on Twitter?
Yeah, I did see that.
He's been doing that his whole career.
But that one specifically,
he threw a no look pass through Andrew Wiggins' legs last year. What makes no sense.
I'm telling you, LeBron made a deal. He's in the Illuminati. He made a deal with the devil to be that good at basketball.
Nah, dog. I don't know.
And I used to strongly believe it. Like, before he had a title, it was like, you'll be the best basketball player in the world, but no championships. That's a trade-off. Would you take that?
We talked about this a couple episodes ago.
Would you take it?
No.
Oh, hell yeah, I would. You're crazy.
Because nobody's gonna say you're the best. That's the whole thing. If you want to be the best, you want people to say it.
I would take that. Like,
I'd take the skills. Hell yeah. But I want to win a championship, at least one.
I would firmly take being the best basketball player in the world, but no championships. I'd be fine with that.
Would you take being the best quarterback to ever play and no Super Bowls?
Well, hell yeah, because Dan Marino did it. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. People consider him one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
I'm saying the best. We're talking about the best, number one. No contest.
I'm going to say I wouldn't have to be number one basketball. If I was good enough to play in the NBA, I wouldn't have to be number one. I just want to be dominant. All-star, make some appearances, enjoy the good life. You know,
make a hell of a lot of money.
A couple of
couple max contracts.
Right. When you retire, open up a basketball academy and just chill.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could do that.
Or be like LeBron and own a team. Player, coach a team.
This is, we're looking at highlights of Josh Allen's pro day right now. Why is nobody asking him to be a tight end? The dude's huge. Like,
nobody asked, because he's white. He's white. That's why nobody's asking him to do that. Lamar's throwing mechanics have improved 100% since he first came to U of L. Do you agree?
Yes.
He's proven that he can throw in the pocket, which they said he couldn't do. He basically took himself, he took a part of his game out of last season.
Yeah.
With his running game.
I actually saw Lamar Jackson's first ever pass at U of L, and it was an interception. It was terrible. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen in my life.
It was awful.
And then the rest of that game, I watched him terrorize Auburn and damn near win the fucking game against
by
number
himself,
6 ranked Auburn. Yeah.
By himself.
Yep.
And he's come a long way from then. So, why didn't anybody else?
Who the hell is Quentin Nelson? When the fuck did he get in the top five of the big board?
No idea. But why isn't anyone asking these other quarterbacks to play another position?
It's a race thing. It's shit.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's asking Lamar to play receiver. He's a quarterback. I'll tell you.
Here's the thing. He did not sign up for the draft. I don't know if they have options. I don't know how they do it. Where you have to fill in the bubble.
Yeah,
what position you're applying for.
On the application.
Which one you want to apply for. But I'm sure he didn't fill in that damn wide receiver bubble.
Right.
He circled the quarterback and filled in the bubble. Gosh damn it.
I want to find an application for the combine. I want to fill it out for next year. Actually,
I think anyone can enter.
Well,
if you meet the requirements.
You have to be invited to the combine. Anybody can enter the draft.
Yeah, enter the draft is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We need to do a hustle highlight tape.
Oh yeah, that
and submit it to the draft.
Let's do a combine. Let's get some. I've got some old tape from high school.
I got some cones. I got a gym ready for you.
Yeah.
I'll run some routes. You can throw some out. Yep.
Oh God,
Jake Holly entering the 2018
I'm actually taller than Josh
NFL
Allen.
Draft.
Way more than him. I look good in shorts, and I can. I probably not throw the ball as far as him, but
they don't have to know how. I mean, you got to hit short routes.
Yeah,
dink and dunk.
We got video editing software. I can throw 90 yards.
Yep,
90 yards. But that's all we got for you guys today. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @HighlyUSLInstagram, @HighlyUSLinkedIn. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podcast, and leave a 5-star rating. Follow us on SoundCloud, leave a 5-star rating.